Hello and welcome to a special Throwback Thursday edition of Beyond the Darkness. I'm Tim Dennison for Dave Schrader. This Throwback Thursday edition is actually a psychic roundtable. It takes place between Dave, myself in the background, just kind of doing my little producer thing, Chip Coffee, Brett Butler, and Jennifer Runyon. Now, it's kind of an interesting episode in that the three of them get together to talk about psychic abilities and how they manifest, how each one of them interprets their abilities. And then we take some calls from the audience and they kind of ask some questions as well. And in there, there's some laughs and there's some fun. And there's also some interesting things that come up as well. So without further ado, we'll get into it. Here's Second Sight. It's the Psychic Roundtable with Chip Coffee, Brett Butler, and Jennifer Runyon here on Beyond the Darkness.
There is a place that is spoken about only in whispers. A dark area that spawns the beginnings of urban legends. A place where anything can happen and usually does. During the light of day, it hides just outside of view. But when the sun goes down, spirits, creatures of the night, roam free. And things do go bump in the night. It is in every state and every country. And there is no escaping it. No matter how safe you feel behind your locked doors and latched windows. So we invite you to turn down the lights and turn up your radio while we join Dave Schrader and Tim Dennis, your hosts, on a journey into the darkness on the edge of town.
Good evening, everybody. Thank you for joining us tonight. We've got a treat in store for you. Our good friend Chip Coffee is going to be joining us for a few hours this evening. He'll be in Mankato at a conference this weekend here in Minnesota. So we're going to chat with him a little bit about the conference. And joining us on the air this evening with Chip, comedian, actress, and psychic medium, Brett Butler joins us as well. Kind of a cool meeting of the minds tonight. We will open up phone lines if you have questions for them about abilities. We're not going to do readings tonight. This is more about a discussion forum. And we're going to talk about all aspects of the paranormal. A lot of people may be surprised to find out Brett Butler is not a one-trick pony when it comes to the supernatural, Tim.
What?
I know. It's hard to believe, but I've grown to have a very nice friendship with her, and we speak regularly, and this woman is well-versed on many different aspects of the weird and the Fortean. So we'll be discussing that throughout tonight's show. Now, tonight we are lucky enough to have two guests joining us on the air. We've got our good friend Chip Coffee, psychic medium. Chip Coffee is here visiting with us again this evening. He's going to be in town this weekend in Mankato, Minnesota for a big event. Hey, Chip, welcome back.
How are you?
I'm doing great. Getting better, though. Thanks a lot for joining us this evening.
It's good to be here. Always, always.
Now, you're doing a how do I say it? You're doing a gallery session this Friday.
I am.
And then you'll be doing an autograph signing session on Saturday in Mankato, right?
I will. I'm doing my gallery reading on Friday night from 7:30 to whatever time we finish up. And then on Saturday, I'm doing a meet and greet, kind of sign some autographs, take some pictures with folks at noon. I think noon to 2.
Very cool. And tickets are still available. Are you sold out yet on the Equinox Fair for your gallery session on Friday?
From what I understand, I was talking to the lady who actually, to Christy, who is in charge of the event, and I think there are still a few tickets left in my gallery reading.
Also joining us on the phone this evening, a more recent friend, but becoming a great friend of the show, Brett Butler, comedian, actress, and psychic medium. Welcome back to the show, Brett.
Hi, Dave. Hi, everybody. This is so much fun. Thank you for having me.
It's a pleasure to chat with you. I wanted to kind of, you know, knowing that I was going to have Chip back on, and I've talked to both of you separately, and both of you have a nice admiration for each other, so I thought, well, it only makes sense. Let's bring you guys together for an evening and kind of talk, because, Chip, you have been imbued with this gift since you were a child, and it's handed down through the family. This is something that's always been a part of your world, correct?
Correct.
And Brett, this is something that's been kind of put on you more recently in life. This was something that wasn't always necessarily a part of who you were, but it's, or if it was, it certainly flowered more over the last few years. Are we getting that correct as well?
I was really slow to pick up on it. When the full thud hit me, I could look back in my life and see all the times it was tugging at my sleeve. I just thought it was something that pretty much happened to everyone.
I think what's intriguing to me about this, Chip, and I knew why you guys would hit it off so wonderfully, is here's an opportunity. You know, we've had a great chance to talk to a few other celebrities on the show that have some abilities, including the beautiful Dee Wallace. And she has her own radio show and podcast and talks about it. She, of course, the mom from Elliot and from the original The Howling, the original mom from E.T. She was Elliot's mom on that movie. She has these abilities. And I thought it was very sweet and humbling. Brett, was you've actually been kind of challenged with this ability because it's not something you necessarily wanted to come out with because you didn't want people thinking it was an ulterior motive behind admitting and kind of confronting this ability.
Well, it comes from me being hypercritical. That's kind of a gift all comedians have. That's a double-edged sword. And I thought, oh God, what could be worse, you know, than some ex-sitcom star that says now she sees dead people. And, you know, I was reluctant. But as time passed, I trusted it. I saw that what was coming in was stuff that was bona fide and that it, and more importantly, I realized it wasn't an accident. Or as my mom put it, I said, well, you know, maybe they were aiming and missed. And she said, you really think God's aim is that bad?
So. Well, Chip, you work with quite a few celebrities around the United States and around the world that come to you for readings, come to you for counsel, and also have their own abilities, right?
Correct. There have been a lot of people that have come to me and told me about their own personal experiences, either psychic or, you know, other paranormal type experiences of being, you know, connected with something that they just couldn't, you know, understand or define or quite get a grasp on.
When you've got a celebrity that's come to you, are they very reluctant, kind of like Brett, with the idea of, you know, geez, I don't want people to just think that this is, a grasp at the new brass ring that seems to be cycling around? Are they more shy about that aspect of who they are and what they are?
I would have to say yes for the most part, because a lot of the celebrities that I know tend to be a little more private. You know, some of them are, everyone's under, once you put yourself in the public eye, you're under such scrutiny anyway.
Right.
And, you know, as a psychic and a medium, there are a lot of people that are out there that are going to come at you from one of two angles. They're going to think you're completely out of your mind, or they're going to think you're a fake or a fraud, or they're going to think that you're just doing it for the hype. You know, so you do put yourself sort of, you know, you become a moving target from certain factions once you profess to being able to do this.
Right, and that's something pretty intriguing. When you talk to these celebrities, Chip, are you ever surprised by who comes forward having these abilities as well? I mean, and I know you don't want to give names because a lot of these people are very private, but are you ever like, really? You've got this? Is it ever a surprise to you anymore?
I would have to say yes, because I think we all kind of deify celebrities to some degree. You know, I turn into the ultimate fanboy. I my ego will not let me believe that anybody knows who I am. You know, and maybe that's a healthy thing to a certain degree, that I've remained somewhat humble with regard to that. But, you know, I've had people come at me and know who I am that just astounds me, because, you know, here I am, just Chip Coffee, living in Georgia. And to think that they're willing to open up and tell me about their experiences, it's surprising to me, actually, when they do that.
Now, Brett, when you're, you know, kind of talking amongst your friends in the entertainment field, do you open up to them about this ability? And when you do, how do they respond to it?
Well, now it's funny. I had a couple of friends early on. And remember, I'm in that weird pack of quote, celebrities that are comedians. And most of us are pretty smart people who are, in my opinion, lazy with what we do. I mean, it's great that comedy's there, but a lot of us work under the wire. We don't work as hard intellectually as we might. I mean, that might be true for everybody. Anyway, when it first happened, I think I said this before, I was surprised at, for example, I have friends in lots of different positions in life. I think that's an important thing that I worked at, because right before I moved to this farm way in Georgia, I was at a party in Hollywood with a lot of people who were in the business. And at one point during the party, I looked around the room and listened to the conversation, and I thought, everyone here needs to take our own lives. That the world would be a better place if we weren't in it. So, and then I moved completely away where people, like, you know, went to church five times a week and watched Fox News all day. And apparently I take me wherever I go. So, but that group didn't bat an eye when I said I could do this. And my friends who are, quote, hip Hollywood people, I think they kind of, they felt sorry for me, but it would just be the two of us in a room, and I'd be friends with some of these people for 30 years, and I go, it's me. Why would I make something up? I mean, I'd be going and doing, you know, a cougar soft porn someplace if I wanted to get attention, right? So I just said, just, you know, do you trust the philosophers of your college years so much not to have childlike wonder? And the good news about this, it's not really answering your question, but I think it's critical to bring into it, the idea that I have worked hard since I realized I could do this at my critical thinking. I don't discuss it a lot, but when I'm doing readings or I talk to people about it, it's important to claim the protection that's here for us spiritually.
Mm-hmm.
And if you do that right off the bat, that clears a lot of stuff out. But you know what's funny? When I tell people, I feel and see their guards go up. And before I get a chance to say, by the way, I never invade doing this. I would no more read someone without their permission than I would watch them change if they'd forgotten left a window open, right? But when they send their guards up, that tells me more than anything. Does that make sense?
Well, sure. I would guess, and that kind of has to be, I've watched people do that around you, Chip. We've had the opportunity to work events for many years, and I've watched people as they kind of approach you, they kind of get that, they're excited to meet you, but that, oh crap, what can he tell about me look?
Yeah,
absolutely. It's one of those interesting things that I remember when, back years ago, when I was still of dating age and I was starting to date someone, and this person said, you scare me a little bit. And I said, why? It's like, I always think that you can tell what I'm thinking, that you can read my mind. And I'm like, look, I'm not trespassing on your thoughts. I don't read minds. I'm not on at this point in time trying to figure things out any more than anybody else is. And, you know, one of the things that I love to do, and Dave, I think you've seen me actually do this, is go up to people when I meet them for the first time and reach out and shake hands. And the minute I touch their hand, I'll go, oh, my God, and cross myself like a Catholic. And that freaks the heck out of people. It's a little bit of psychic humor there. Brett, do that sometimes. It'll freak the hell out of people.
When you talk to, and again, Brett, you're dealing in the world of major insecurities. Every comedian I know has got these weird insecurities. I can only imagine how uncomfortable they may feel. Hey, you know, as you said, are they feeling sorry? Oh, Brett, and you've kind of got to validate, hey, I could do other things to make money. This isn't just a grab. This is an ability I'm opening up to you about. But I would think a lot of them would just have that insecurity of, oh, crap, I don't want to know. I don't want to know. Because when you hear psychic, you automatically start thinking people are going to start trying to tell you about, you know, your life or what's coming up. And that can be intimidating. I've known you for, what, 10 years now, Chip. How many readings have I ever asked you for?
Not many.
Right.
You've said, what do you feel about this, a couple of times. But, you know, and that's just it. Most people that I know don't really call me and say, I want you to read for me. Most of my personal friends. And another thing is, and Brett, I don't know if this is the same with you, but it is with a lot of psychics, the closer you get to someone, the harder it is to read them because your own stuff gets in the way. Your own hopes for them and fears for them and wishes and whatever really gets in the way, and it becomes harder to discern what is actually information that's coming from the spiritual realm and what's your own stuff.
Right, right. And in that vein, one of the things I can do, I was telling Dave earlier, I don't claim an excess amount of this. What I feel like is a toddler that has good memory and observation that's looking into a college classroom. With the different levels of stuff I get, it's more than mediumship. What's been interesting lately is that, for example, I was doing a reading recently for someone, and the person that they, and you and I both know that sometimes the person they want to reach who's crossed over is not who shows up. But the one who did actually did something interesting. They are connected to higher levels. It's sort of like they hold open doors in upper floors for me. And this person's father actually hung around after the reading and helped school me a little bit, if you will.
Is that?
So I think that's fascinating.
That's more to do with, and I tell the people when I'm reading them, part of the reason I even started talking about this is I really want to help demystify it. There was and she's really great at what she does, a great renowned medium who told me I could do this 20 years ago. And when I wrote her a few years ago to thank her for the heads up and tell her that I was reading people and, I don't charge money. I was doing stuff for bereaved people. All she wrote back was, be careful, you don't know the rules. And my first thought was, well, why don't you tell me what you think they are? And I realized that she might have viewed me as competition, which is silly. But, the other thing is, I wanted to, you know, I think there's room for all of us in this, you know, that there's room for this. And that's kind of the thing that I'm moving towards. It's this thing I'm writing. It's called Perfect Strangers Moving Towards a Telepathic Society. And that when this happened to me, thank goodness I didn't think, oh, my gosh, I'm so special. I must be the only one. I went, wait a minute. I wasn't looking for this. I hadn't studied for it. This is happening to other people. A lot of people are getting served right now. So I think when I meet someone, there's no accident, you know, that they are awakening to some level of their own increased ability. And if there's any way that my little, you know, my kind of new path can help them hold on to it, that makes the world a better place.
Now joining the fray, Tim, I'm not too ashamed to admit that, I watched Charles in Charge simply because this woman was a part of it.
Oh, well.
I think I may have watched the scene in Ghostbusters so many times that she's in that part doesn't even show up on the videotape anymore that I have.
That's not good. You're still on videotapes?
Well, I don't want to rush into that new technology, Tim.
I see.
I'm afraid that DVD thing is not going to stick anyway.
It
I'm
may
just going to stick
out.
With VHS.
Yeah. Yeah.
Joining us online right now and becoming part of the story with us, Jennifer Runyon Corman. Jennifer, welcome to the show. Thanks for joining in.
Oh, thank you, David. It's so nice to be here.
Stick that voice on my button bar, Tim. I need that forever. Forever. Hey, thank you for joining us. It's very cool to have you join in on the fun. We're kind of talking about psychic ability. Chip was mentioning off air that you've been to a few of his gallery sessions.
Oh, I love... Hi, Chip. I love you.
Hello, sweet girl. I love you, too.
Oh,
she, you know,
buddy.
You tell me this.
Yeah.
When I've known Jennifer's work since she was on Another World and, you know, the soap opera, the classic soap opera. And even as an adolescent boy, as a gay man, can I admit that she was in my spank bank?
Oh, Chip, this is a family show.
I am so honored right now. You have no idea.
Oh, my God. The strange admissions. Brett Butler, do not admit anything right now. I just don't think I can handle
terrific.
It.
No, I'm just grinning. Hi, Jennifer. Hello.
Oh, Brett, how are you? Tell you I've enjoyed your work, and it's so cool to be here with you tonight, too.
Thank you. Hi, this is fun.
Hey,
yeah,
off-air, Jennifer, Chip brought up the fact that you are also known as Fake Cindy. I've always known you as Second Cindy. You are the...
Well, you know what we like to call me? We Susan Olsen and I have coined the term Christmas Cindy.
Yes.
So...
You were,
I think that sounds nice.
And you were quite the gift to see on that episode, to tune in to see Susan Olsen gone, but you were a very Brady Christmas miracle in yourself. Now, do you have abilities as well, Jennifer? Do you have sensitivity to the paranormal at all?
Well, you know, honestly, I don't know, but I'll tell you, from a child, I have seen things. I remember living in Chicago as a young girl and being at my grandmother's house, and I used to see a woman. When I'd spend the night, I'd be lying in, you know, the little bedroom she'd stick me in, and I always saw this woman, you know, walk past the door. And I remember I'd go running downstairs and going, "Who's that lady?" And everybody was like, "Oh, go back to sleep." You know, they would just hush me. And, well, I find out years later, everybody saw her, not just me. Everyone knew, oh, that lady, we saw her all the time. She was always wandering back and forth through that hallway. And, you know, I've always had interesting things happen to me that I could never explain. I would see things or hear my name in my ear quite often. And I don't know how to interpret that.
I do. I can interpret it for you perfectly. Chip, this reminds me of being at your gallery sessions.
Right.
And you look at somebody and say, I'm getting a name like Mildred, and I'm getting like an Aunt Mildred, and she's got a pink poodle, and she likes to eat noodles. Is that you? And the person looks at you and goes, I don't know. I don't think so. But I did have an Aunt Millie who had a pink poodle, and I think it was short for Mildred. I ask you, Jennifer, are you sensitive? I don't really think so, but I've seen things my entire life. I'm going to guess, I'm going to put you in the yes, you're sensitive,
I know, right?
column.
Yeah, I'm going to put her over, I'm going to put her, push her over into the weird category with the rest of us, okay?
Yeah.
Come on, Jennifer.
Yeah, definitely. Own it, girl. Own it.
Well, you know, and here's the thing. I do believe when you have had experiences and numerous times, not just one time that you can't explain, but several. And not just in the middle of the night, pure daylight, there's something going on. So I don't really know how you tap into any of that. I just, when these things happen, I kind of just, it doesn't scare me. I'm more curious, and I'm more, you know, inquisitive about what, you know, what is that? You know, did I really feel that or hear that? Or, you know, I question it a lot, which probably, you know, you can talk yourself out of a lot of stuff when you do that.
Now, Brett, do you physically see spirits yourself, or do you pick up more on just like messages or flashes of what they're trying to communicate to you?
I have a friend that sees dead people. Like, I see, you know, people in front of me. I don't see like that, but when I'm describing someone, I know what they look like. There's a way you can see something in your mind's eye. Every now and then, because I'm not a clairvoyant, isn't my main thing, every now and then I see light around certain people, especially out of the corner of my eye. It has to do with their development, and frankly, they're usually much older souls than I. Last night, I met someone at a meeting, and it was just, it's hard to broach this with people. It's like, I know to go up and start talking to them about it. Well, she sounded like you, Jennifer. She just goes, "Well, I was just at a funeral and I saw someone sitting on the casket." And later at the house of the people whose funeral it was, it ended up being the son that they buried. She described him exactly. And then
wow.
She kind of blew it off just like you did. So I happen to be glad that I don't see dead people that way. They show up at what I call my 2 o'clock spot in my head, mm-hmm. with identifying things. My friend just about trips over them. That would bug me.
Right.
Well, that's, and you know what's interesting about that? You talk about kind of being able to sense the level of ability people have. Chip, do you ever go somewhere, especially when you're doing conferences like you're going to be doing here in Minnesota at the Equinox Fair? Do you go there and it's filled with practitioners and metaphysical arts and self-proclaimed psychics and mediums? And can you tell just by interacting with somebody if they are just, there's nothing, there's no ability there whatsoever?
The word that I would have to use is sometimes. You know, everybody wants to have some, or a lot of people want to have psychic ability, and everybody, I think, does. It's just as Brett said, that everybody's abilities are different. There's shades of difference in how their abilities manifest. I don't. typically see manifestations of people. Like when I'm doing a reading on television, you'll see Jennifer Love Hewitt, that person standing right behind them or whatever. I don't. That's not the way mine works. Mine is more from I sense the energy, or I just somehow I know what they might have looked like in at certain times. But you know, this Brett also brought up something very, very close to the way I think earlier, and that is, I don't trespass on people's energy. I don't care what they believe. I don't care what their abilities are, because that's not up to me. But you know, it's those people that deal with this in a very hysterical or forceful or almost rude manner that give those of us who are trying to do good work and to bring comfort and healing and help to other people. It gives us a bad name if those people kind of, their ego takes over. Does that make any sense?
Yeah. Oh, definitely.
Yeah,
definitely.
Can I bring up something on that level? I had to kind of get better, a lot better at this. And I guess you guys know, but people are surprised to hear that there are people with the gifts are no respecter of persons. There are people with no moral compass whatsoever who possess advanced psychic ability. Sociopaths can do this. That's why, one of the reasons why I think when I tell people, you know, because I'm not saying I can do it all the time, but there are times when I can tell specific things that people will be good at, like clairaudience or you know, clairgustance, or just different, even mediums, or people that are future sight, claircognizance. And I tell them, it's real important that we acknowledge this, but and it's not nothing I do out loud, but I'll be in a room with a lot of people, and I will sense that person with, frankly, malevolent energy. I don't go searching. It just makes itself known. And you ever see the, you know, the meerkats getting up on their back legs, you know?
Right.
It's sort of like my spirit has started being emboldened a little bit. So in spirit, I go over to that person's, like, energetic self and thump them in the head. Like, and sort of do the thing like, I got my eye on you. And every now and then, that person will actually look like something tapped them on the shoulder and turn around and look at me. And of course, I just smile at them.
Chip, are you ever still surprised by things that you'll come into contact with? Are you ever frightened by the energies or entities that you confront?
Not really frightened. I'm cautious. You know, I try definitely not to put myself in harm's way and to be prepared. Layer on the protections before I go into certain places, but you know, I've certainly been startled or rattled by certain things that I've seen. And I heard you mention earlier ETs and aliens. No, thank you. Nope.
Well, Chip, do you ever do the spirits that hang around, do they mess with people trying to seem terrifying and frightening, taking on those visages to just spook somebody that's, you know, maybe kind of awakening these abilities?
I think that if somebody was crabby or mean or a jerk when they were alive, they might have carried that with them over into spirit. If it's a human spirit, absolutely. There can be those that are just doing it for the pure meanness of it. And some of them may be even trying, if they know they've got somebody that's easily spooked, they might even be trying to have a good laugh with them.
Jennifer, talk to me a little bit about, if you're willing to share with mm-hmm. us, you said that you had a very weird experience. And your brother also, I guess, was this what you were talking about earlier with seeing this woman in the house constantly?
No, this is a different experience.
Okay.
This happened actually at Chip when I was doing Another World. And I was very young and moved to New York and missed my family. And I was like, Mom, you have to come up and stay with me in New York. So I found this house to rent in White Plains, New York. And this is the only time I've ever been concerned. That's probably the best way to describe it. So I found this little house because my mom and little brother were going to move up with me. And I thought, well, I'm not going to live in the city because it's probably better for my little brother to live in a neighborhood and that kind of thing. So I found this house and rented it, moved in before they came out. And it was so charming, this little Victorian house. It was very, very charming. And I loved it. And the first day I was there, getting everything kind of set up, and my cat would not go upstairs. She would sit at the bottom of the stairs and just glare, and her little hair would stand up on her, and she'd screech off and go into the kitchen. But I didn't think much of it, you know, but I felt really concerned. I mean, I felt Have you guys ever felt, I'm sure you have, this feeling, a familiar feeling? It was a familiar feeling that came back to me from my grandmother's home of somebody watching me. And so I slept on that couch until my family came out. And we lived in this house for 6 weeks until I just looked at my mother one day and said, we have to get out of here. There's something, and she felt it too. Turned out she was feeling all these things. Somebody touched her on the back. So long story short, we find an apartment in Manhattan, because now I'm moving back to Manhattan. I mean, I'm done with, you know, White Plains, New York. And the night before we're moving, we have everything packed up. We're all sleeping in my mother's room because it's hotter than hell and she has the only air conditioner. And all of a sudden we hear a slam and we go running out, and it was the bathroom door, which couldn't slam easily because it had a shag rug in there. And the dog was in there crying. So we open the door, get the dog out, and we're like, what is... My brother's little. You know, my brother's like 10. And all of a sudden then, we hear... so weird. I feel so weird telling this story because it just sounds so crazy. But all of a sudden, we hear the theme from Popeye. You know, I'm Popeye. Well, I had this music box. Again, a music box. You know, pretty cliche. But it was packed away in a box, all wrapped up. And so we hear it. We go running in the bedroom that it was packed in. We open up the box, and this music box is playing, which you can't play this music box unless you pull the little drawer out. So we were like, okay, we definitely have got to get out of here. Thank God the movers are coming in the morning. But I've never understood what it was I felt in there, what I felt looking at me all the time. Turns out my little brother, you know, he was young, but he had the same experiences. My mother had the same experiences. She, one time I went to work and took my little brother with her on to another world. And we came home, and there's my mother sitting on the front porch. And I was like, why are you out here? What's going on? She goes, I've been out here for 3 hours. Because something touched me in the bathroom. So it's one of those things that I dream about it occasionally, and I forget about it, but then the minute I have a dream, it all comes back to me. And I've always wondered what the heck was in that house.
Chip, when somebody starts having that sense of familiarity, but yet there's this uncomfortable feeling going on around, I mean, is the familiarity maybe... Your guardians, your support staff around you, alerting you that there is something wrong?
Could be any number of things. You know, I listened attentively to Jennifer's story, and you know, sometimes I tell people that if you've got anything bad in your house, mm-hmm. anything that is like trying to cause harm or is being malicious or malevolent in your house, mm-hmm. you're probably going to know it pretty quickly, because they tend to be very disruptive, especially if you've got anything, and I don't even like using this word a lot, but demonic in your house, mm-hmm. then it is going to try to take you down. It is going to try to completely throw your whole world into a tailspin. And I think because a lot of us have seen so many horror movies in our mm-hmm. lifetime mm-hmm. and have become, you know, sensitized to that, that we've got to be careful that we don't overreact when
correct.
When things happen that are benign or harmless. You know, I listened very closely for Jennifer to tell me that something happened other than the fact that she felt creeped out. Now, if she tells me that she felt threatened in her house,
no.
and she doesn't feel like that was an over-exaggeration, then the real thing about it is, you know, there are steps to do it. Try to cleanse your house if you can't move. Try to get help from trusted people, a paranormal team or a religious person, a clergyman or clergywoman, or move.
Right, which we did. And I never felt threatened. I never felt like we were in harm, but it was...
But it was just unnerving.
Presence,
right.
You know, there was always this overbearing feeling of something watching you and following you. I mean, it was really, it was not pleasant
Well, we've got to take a break. We'll come back. We'll talk more. Stay tuned. We're just getting started. You're listening to the best in paranormal talk radio. This is Darkness Radio.
The following is an encore presentation of Beyond the Darkness.
Looking for something fun to do here in the beautiful state of Minnesota? Well, then come on out to the Equinox Fair this weekend. That's right, March 20th through the 22nd. Chip Coffee is going to be on hand, psychic medium and spiritual counselor. Gallery session this Friday night. And then he'll be signing autographs and doing a meet and greet on Saturday. Joining us on air, Mr. Coffee himself, Chip Coffee, is here from Paranormal State and Psychic Kids. He's out touring with his coffee talk, lectures, and gallery sessions. And also joining us, pound for pound, the hottest replacement Brady in history, Tim. Jennifer Runyon Corman with us as well. And, of course, the sassy, sweet, and always beautiful Brett Butler, comedian, actress, and psychic medium online with us. Tonight we're opening it up, talking about the psychic abilities, ghost, weird stuff. Before we roll into that, I'm getting beat up here, Jennifer. If I don't ask the question, I'm never going to get any further. Everybody's going to keep attacking me. Ghostbusters.
Yeah.
How cool was it to be a part of that movie?
Oh my God. It was fantastic. You know, it was one of those things where I never got the script. It was like, go in and read for this movie. It's, you know, Ivan Reitman, Bill Murray, Dan Aykroyd, and I didn't even know what it was. You know, they didn't give you any information. So I went in and did it on tape, and Ivan Reitman was there, and I ended up, after several weeks, I got the part, and I didn't even know what the movie was about because, again, they were very secretive with the script. But I'll tell you, it shocked me. You know, when it came out, I went to the premiere, and I'm like, holy crap, this is really fun.
Yeah, very cool. Now there's buzz of a new Ghostbusters relaunch, both a female version by Paul Feig and Ivan Reitman stepping up to do a male-led version of the movie as well. So they're going to be filling the airwaves again with the Ghostbusters movie franchise, which will be exciting to be a part and go back out and watch it. But you've got one of the more fun scenes. I said, I worked during the day for the Ghost Adventures TV show.
Mm-hmm.
And I told Zach, I said, you know what, Zach, next time we're out in California, we've got to get in there and show you doing a test of some sort and just show some poor guy sweating as you keep frying him and then zip the video over and have Jennifer Runyon sitting there smiling at you.
Oh,
people
would
eat it up. And he started laughing. He goes, yeah, we don't want to do the kitschy, but that would be awesome. So good stuff. Now, Brett, off air, we were just chatting real quickly, and you're kind of picking up with Jennifer, and you had a couple questions you wanted to direct to hers, too, so I'll let you do that.
Well, Jennifer, I wanted to know if you have heard, if you know your clairaudience, if you have heard your name or other things in your left ear.
It's always my left ear, and it's always my name. This is what I hear. Jennifer. That's it.
Yeah, exactly.
Since I was a little kid.
Well, you're so humble with your gifts, but, you know, what was funny is they told me that about you, and they were like, tell her and she'll say yes. So is this just nothing? I'm just curious because when I had several ways, you know, I was trying to check, make sure, frankly, I wasn't hearing voices that really weren't there. But, you know, is this anything you wanted to do? I mean, I haven't earned money from this. I do it. I kind of find the people who are bereaved and it all ends up working. But I just want to tell you, if you know, if you don't know it already, you have such a gentle nature and you can, as I say, claim the protection that's there for you. But, you know, I'm sure you get angelic messages, and I hope you keep doing it, and I hope it's something you share with other people. It's just really nice to meet you this way.
Well, thank you, Brett. I mean, that's so nice. You know, I tell you,
and I think maybe you guys understand this. The one thing I do know about me, and I say this with genuine humbleness, is I've always felt like I've had angels around me because I did have a very chaotic childhood, and there was something innately in me that knew it's all going to be okay. Just have faith, and it has been. So, you know, I don't know if I have anything special. I just know that I trusted and kind of gone with a gut instinct in life about, you know, things that kind of came up. You know, I trusted my gut.
Jennifer, let me ask you, if I can ask one thing. Now, you said, is this a childlike voice that whispers to you?
No.
Okay, I couldn't tell if you'd said it was like a child did you say you've been hearing it since you were a child?
Jennifer.
Now, when you hear it, though, do you ever take notice of something going on around you? Does it seem to maybe get your attention as you're driving so that you don't get broadsided or so you don't trip over, you know, a ledge or something like that? Is there ever anything that you tie into when you hear this voice?
Well, let me tell you, I haven't heard it in a very long time. It was really stronger when I was younger. And, you know, it happened. People could be in the room with me and I'd hear my name and think that they said it. But then I could be alone and I'd hear it. So, but I haven't heard it in a very long, I have not heard my name in my ear in a very long time.
All right, Brett, I'll let you finish up with it.
I was just going to say, I love it. And I know that people don't think of me when they hear the word meek, but like the Bible said, blessed are the meek, for they will inherit the earth. I know this is a broad statement, but I'm abroad. So, I think that's from abroad. I think people are being served with a heightening of the gifts. And I love to hear someone who is humble and so sweet and, you're teachable, and that's what I always want to be with this thing. If I ever get to be Miss Smarty Pants Medium, you know, knock me down. But I love this is happening, and the fact that you said you struggled in childhood, that's kind of part of the trifecta for ability, by the way. And by having these experiences and then letting spirits come in through us, I think we're in a position to really encourage and support other people. So they, you know, I want to tell people, and Chip probably has this more than anyone, how people come up to you and almost make you responsible for their lives, saying, oh, you know, read me, when they're not working very hard on their own intuition, right?
You know, what I find is true is that you'll get those people who will firmly listen to what Spirit is trying to tell them, at least think about it and ponder on it. That's all I ask anybody to do. They don't have to do anything that I'm suggesting that is coming from Spirit for them to do, but just think about it. And there's so many people who get good sage advice and counseling and guidance from Spirit, and they just don't take it. So that's what I feel is if you're going to ask Spirit to help you, your spirit guides, your guardians to help you, then at least consider the sage guidance that they're giving to you, and don't just I'm not going to do that.
Yeah.
Do you ever have them do this? Like, because I'll be reading someone, and then in the middle of it, they go, "How did you know that?" And then I look at them and go, "I'm psychic. I thought I'd mention that. I thought
that's why you're here."
About.
Yeah.
But then when I call it the party trick, and it's not that way of mediumship. It's just for that second, especially people who don't really believe. When I give them a message that it is certainly for them and in real specific ways with like a name and identifying things, just for that minute, they're able to believe that we don't die. And, you know, that blows the lid off the box. That just brings so much happiness to this life, I think.
Wow.
I agree with you 100%. One of the things that I've always said about the work that I do is however it happens, my goal is to bring help first and foremost to someone, to help them be at a better place than they were when they first came to me. But in partnership with that, I want to bring comfort and healing to anybody that comes to me.
Right.
You know, Chip, you said something to me the last time I saw you. I came to visit you, and it was so interesting. You said, hey, Jennifer, I was in the audience. He goes, I want to talk to your friend, and you talked to my friend, and it was freaking scary how spot on it was. And then you focused on me and you said, you know, I see two women around you, and they're saying, go, go, do it, go for it, go for it. And you said, Jennifer, it's time for you. You've been a mom. You've been doing all this stuff. It's now time for you to be Jennifer Runyon again. And it was so interesting when you did that, because my whole life since my kids now are older has completely flipped. I mean, I thought for years, oh, well, I'm just a mom now. You know, this is what it's going to be. And, you know, I was fine with it. I was content. But the last 2 years, things have been happening for me, and not necessarily like acting, but a couple of little things. But, you know, just my work I do with teens and at-risk teens and things like that. And it was just very interesting because you didn't know I was doing that, and you picked up on it, and you encouraged me. And every time I kind of have a little self-doubt, I remember you telling me, you know, keep it going. It was really amazing.
Well, and what I felt at that point in time was that you had been in service, and with no remorse or regret or, you know, feeling like you were martyring yourself, but you had given yourself so sincerely, and that was time to go back and say, you know, I've done this for a while, and I'm going to bring myself forward a little bit more and do something that I love and I is going to fulfill me, Jennifer.
Yeah, it was really interesting. It really was. It was almost confirming a lot of things that were happening for me when you said that, and it was really a beautiful moment.
Jennifer, I don't claim to be psychic, but once in a while I'll get a message from the other side, and they're saying, please don't do Sharknado 4. Avoid Sharknado 4.
You got it.
All right. We do have a caller coming in. Let me see which line I got to grab here to make this happen. Kevin in St. Louis Park, welcome to the show.
Thanks, Dave. The guests have already touched on this a little bit, but what kind of tips can you give to someone who is just beginning to embrace their gift? And I'll open it up to any one of you.
Chip, why don't we start with you as you know, kind of the godfather here of the psychic development. What tips do you kind of put out to people when they are looking to start opening up and maybe embrace it more?
Trust yourself. Mm-hmm. Trust that the information, trust the messages that you're getting are valid until proven otherwise, you know, and no psychic is 100% or medium is 100% correct all the time. And, you know, as you begin to learn how to fine-tune your abilities, just continue on with that trust. Ask for the help that you need. Ask your spirit partners to clarify things. And one of the things that psychic John Holland says, and I, total attribution, say that I stole or borrowed this from John, and that is one of my mantras is, I want less of me to come through. I want less of me and more of spirit. Less of me and more of spirit. Whenever I'm reading, that's my mantra. Less of me, more of spirit. Trust yourself.
Mm. All right. And Brett, how about for you? I mean, you were somebody kind of, I joke about it being the reluctant psychic. You just, all of a sudden it was there and you started to let this blossom. Now, if you could go back and talk to yourself when this was happening, what advice would you give yourself?
Well, what's cool about Kevin is that, it's coming through, and I love that you didn't have to wait 30 years for it like I did. And you also are you have future sight, and that's a whole level. I know people who believe in psychic abilities and even mediumship that just think the idea of future sight or claircognizance is wrong. But I guess my suggestion to you, because you're still pinching yourself about it, write down for yourself. It's not your ego, and I love what you said, Chip, about trusting spirit, but in that way, yourself and your spirits have to be really strong and claim the right ones. Do, you know, ask for the right ones. So write down your hits. I mean, don't sit in front of someone and go, I'm sorry, I'm so good, I have to get out a pen right now. That's what comedians do. But just keep doing it and keep paying attention to it. And also, and I don't mean to sound paranoid, but where light and love conspire to multiply, you will find some sudden adversarial energy that appears. It is a compliment to your development. Don't be afraid of it, because paper covers rock. Does that make sense to you?
Yeah.
I have the great luxury of seeing Kevin at a lot of our events, and I'll tell you what, the guy has some knack for interacting with spirits. I've never, he gets EVP of videos, photographs like nobody's business. We caught, when we were here at the Palmer House Hotel, Chip, a couple months back, he got this full-on spirit apparition laying on the bed in the hotel room that he was filming in. And it's pretty intriguing, and he always seems to knock this stuff out. And I think it is, Kevin, because you do put out that you're such a nice guy and such a good overall energy. I'm not surprised that spirits make themselves known to you a little bit more than probably others that are part of the group. That's why I always set you up and let people kind of hang with you. I think they're bound to have something weird happen because you seem so open and positive about the experiences.
Well, thank you, Dave.
Thank you very much for listening and calling in, Kevin, and we'll see you in a couple of weeks out at the Palmer House again. Let's grab Roger in Baltimore. Welcome to the show.
Hey, how are you doing, guys?
Doing good.
I have a question. Well, it's kind of like a multi-part question, but for my own interest in the paranormal, I'm kind of interested in UFOs and extraterrestrials. And what I wanted to know is, aside from not liking them very much, what is the guest's perspective on that particular phenomenon, UFOs and ETs? And why do you think there's a seemingly so little to no kind of cross-pollination between the different groups of investigators where, you know, some are go for ghosts and spirit investigations and hauntings and demonic entities, but they don't really communicate with each other in regard to the people that are interested in UFOs and extraterrestrials.
Chip, do you want to tackle that?
For me, first of all, hello, Roger. You said you were going to call in. I read that on Facebook, so hello.
Hi, it's good to finally talk to you.
It's good to say hello to you, too. Roger and I are friends on Facebook. It's a small little community to some degree. But in answer to your question, you know, I've dealt with ghosts. I've dealt with demons. ETs freak me out a bit. Just from the standpoint, I think that that for me, they're not of this world. Are they interdimensional? Are they interdimensional? Are they extraterrestrial? I don't know. And I've only come into contact with energies that I felt were either multidimensional or extraterrestrial a couple of times. And I think it's just that unknown factor. And again, maybe I've watched too many movies with rampaging aliens in it, and I've corrupted my own train of thought. I think people... For me, if I started thinking about aliens and all this, my brain's not that big, and it would be overwhelming to me. So, you know, I can't explore the whole ET alien thing and the ghost thing and this and that and something else because there's just not enough time and energy left in my body to do that. So I think that's why people sort of specify or pick what they really want to focus in on. But I'm the first to admit, aliens, no. There's just something about them that's very frightening to me.
Well, and it's funny, Roger, we did an episode of Paranormal State in season 2. I'd been out to this UFO ranch a few times, and it had these really bizarre experiences.
Oh, I remember that.
Yeah, and Ryan Buell reached out to me and said, hey, Papa Dave, let's do this. Let's go out of the demon and ghost hunting realm. Let's go look for UFOs. If you're sincere about what you saw, I said, I've been out there 3 times, Ryan. I've never been disappointed. And I remember the big caveat was, do not tell Chip where we're going. Just tell him we're going to Oregon. Don't tell him where. And I thought it was so fascinating as I got to stand back and watch the whole filming process. And they were kind enough to allow me to be a big part of the episode. And they were talking to James Gilliland, and he so matter-of-factly said, oh, you know, up in the sky at this point in the night, they're going to make themselves known to you, and this is going to go on. Now, Chip was nowhere on set, nowhere. They still had him tucked away at some little hotel over the border in Oregon, and then I remember them calling for him, and I was sitting there, and Chip came out, and they did the handshake and the hi, and nice to see you, and they started running the cameras, and as Chip was walking, I remember the moment he stopped, and it was this weird kind of like almost like an electric shock hit him, and he stopped and he turned and he looked up to the sky and he said, something's going to happen up here tonight at about 10 o'clock. And he pointed to that. And if you've watched the episode, that's the time when we're all watching in the sky and we catch that thing coming across the sky and it stops and then lights up. And then, of course, we get the greatest audio bit ever from Chip Coffee. Chip, do you remember what you said when that thing powered up?
Yes.
Censored?
No, but it was so beautiful.
Line. Blast your power.
Yeah, blast me with your power. And we just all lost it. Luckily, they edited out the laughing.
We're riding over a bumpy field in the middle of nowhere in the back of a pickup truck chasing space creatures. And I'm there wearing a Depend thinking they're going to take me away from here in a body bag.
Yeah, it was crazy. And we had that experience that night. So there was something very cool about that. Thanks a lot for calling in, Roger. It's the night of four's celebrities, Tim. I can't say hundreds of celebrities. We've got four.
Ah.
Four. Three tonight, one tomorrow.
I see. That's that new map.
I see your Jennifer Runyon, your Chip Coffee, and your Brett Butler, and I raise you one Gary Busey tomorrow night, Tim.
Way to make our guests feel inferior, Dave.
No, not at all. I'm just saying, I'm raising the stakes. How is that making them inferior? We've got the three of them tonight.
Feel great about that.
Such a goon. Tomorrow night, Gary Busey joins us on air. Friday night, we say goodbye to Mally Fox. Make sure you tune in and be a part of the show. And you can send her emails, folks, at mallyfox@gmail.com. Maybe people will finally have her name correct by now, Tim.
I hope Molly gets her emails.
Mally. It's MalleyFox@gmail.com. That's MalleyFox@gmail.com. Inundate her. Let her know that you love her and that you'll miss her, just so she knows. It's always nice to get those letters.
I'm sure
she will be missed on the show.
I'm sure Mary would appreciate every single one that she gets. So.
Yes. Yeah. No, I almost said Molly.
See?
Mally.
Huh?
Chip, this poor woman has been with our show for 6 years. People still send in. They'll go, Dave, I love the show. I think the chemistry between you, Tom, and Molly is fantastic.
I thought her name was Mickey.
Yeah, no. That's...
I thought so, too.
No, stop it, Tom. Tim Dennis with me
this Uncle
evening.
Uncle Chick.
Yeah, Uncle Chick. That's right. We've got, let's do this. We've got so many cool things going on tonight, and we were taking phone calls for people that have questions for our guests, but I also want to do a quick opportunity to plug some of the work that they're doing. As I said, Chip Coffee's got his Coffee Talk Tour. Chip, how can they find tickets and information on where you're going to be visiting?
All of my events are on my website, chipcoffee.com, chipcoffey.com. Click on the events and appearances page, and that will tell you where I'm going to be. I'm doing a lot of events this year, and probably I'm going to be someplace close to where you're at.
Very cool. Jennifer Runyon Corman,
yes.
You've got some cool stuff going on as well. Why don't you tell us a little bit about what you're doing and how people can find you and listen to you and see you more?
Oh, that's so awesome. Thank you for giving me that little, plug. I do a show called Fluid on Blog Talk Radio with Willie Ames and Susan Olson, and Chip has been a guest on our show. And I also do another podcast called Feast on This with Venus Quintana, and we are foodies, and we talk about food, and we have wonderful chefs on and owners of restaurants, and it's a real fun show.
Very cool. And people can find you. It's Blog Talk.
Blog Talk Radio, WBAR, New York.
Very cool. And it's Fluid. And what is the name of the other show?
Feast on This.
Feast on This. That's how you can find more about Jennifer Runyon Corman. And Brett Butler, our good friend, we're working together. We might be getting her out. I'm trying to drag her out with me to some of these paranormal conferences to do a talk. She's got some great insights to helping people empower themselves and take advantage of the abilities that they've got. But I want to mention something cool. Brett mentioned it earlier. She doesn't charge to do readings. She just, when she feels the call for it. However, and I know this will strike close to your heart as well, Chip. Brett does animal rescue and helps animals all the time. She's going to be doing something a little different, and we're still getting it set up. But if you're interested, you can email me, dave@darknessradio.com. dave@darknessradio.com. She's going to do a set of readings. If you're interested, for a $100 donation, that'll go to help older animals that have been forgotten, older animals that are in need of medications, which can be quite pricey, food for animals in need, and so on and so forth. Email me, dave@darknessradio.com, and when we get it all set up and get it taken care of, we'll hook you up, and you can get a reading, 45 minutes to hour-long reading with the lovely Brett Butler and give you an opportunity to help animals and enjoy the company of Brett Butler as well.
Thanks for the animals, Dave. Thanks for that.
Hey, always.
I'm more in love with you than I ever was before Brett Butler because he just said that. Thank you for that. Thank you.
Yeah, that's amazing. That is such a beautiful, beautiful contribution to, you know, our animals.
Definitely.
I think I'm going to be an old dog one day, so I want somebody taking care of me.
It's karma chameleon time. Let's go to the phones. Frank in Minneapolis, welcome to the show.
I was calling to talk to Miss Brett, if that's possible.
Yep, she's online. What did you want to talk to her about?
Frank.
Yeah, well, I admire you for two reasons. One's because you're a powerful, handsome woman, and also because you didn't turn a Southern personality into one of those damn Al Cap satires.
I love you for noticing. But I was just writing Chip a note telling him thank you for the same thing.
How did you describe her? That was one of the coolest compliments I've ever heard. A mighty,
it
powerful. How did you say that? Frank?
Handsome.
Oh, mighty, handsome. Mighty powerful, handsome. Lady. That's an amazing, cool compliment to give. But what did you have a question for Brett as well, Frank?
Years ago, like I said, I traveled in the South, and I picked up an accent with the carnivals. And I had to graduate college up here in Minnesota. I had to read the poetry with a cork in my teeth to get cleared from the professor. I'm having a hard time dealing with. Is I'm one of those people who can touch a piece of metal. I used to do it when I was a kid with pocket watches and old wedding rings, but go by things like bayonets, I can actually see who it was used on and feel it both ways.
A psychometry, that is so fascinating. I'm really bad at that. That's awesome you can do that.
I've gone through a big pile of my late dad's tools, and I could pick up every one of them. It was just like he's putting his hand on my shoulder.
I think that's sweet. When they teach or what I've read about, you know, like 101 psychic stuff, that's often the one that they try to teach first, and it's the thing that I show the least proficiency in. So I bet if you go to like yard sales and stuff, you're just feel like you're watching a time traveler movie.
Well, I picked up a switchblade at one of these shows, and I actually saw it used on a woman, and I fell to my knees. And after that, I tried to get away from it.
Yeah, can you? Well, thank you,
know, you
for calling
you can
in, Frank.
Ask for protection for that, by the way. If you want to, you can. You know, you're hooked up with spirit, and you can ask that they, you know, do it kindly and respectfully. There, you have plenty there to protect you. So use it. You're worth it.
Thank you very much, Frank. We appreciate you calling in and listening as well. Chip, that is one of those weird abilities when you've got the psychometry. You hold something, and it's like. It's almost like it's being forced on you. And as somebody who's not real psychic myself, I've had those moments when I've touched something and I've gotten visions or imagery that kind of flood you. And that's more of an evasive way, almost kind of the opposite of psychics that just come up and start to unload on you. Have you had, do you do much with psychometry as well? And do you find that you do need to shield yourself when you're out and about touching things because you might pick up on all of that?
You know, what's very interesting is I think I used to be much better at psychometry than I am today, and I don't know if it's because I just haven't used it or, you know, kind of like riding a bike. If you don't ride a bike for a while, you've got to kind of get the feel of your balance again on a bicycle. So maybe that's it. But sometimes I will touch things tactily and see if I'm getting any sort of impressions on them. When I was in college, people would hand me objects and see what I could read off specific objects. But just like Brett said, it's not my strongest skill set. And as I said before, you know, everybody's abilities just manifest themselves a little different. I don't see colored auras. I'm jealous of those who do. But psychometry, I just haven't utilized it that much.
And it's interesting, Jennifer, you were talking about places you've been and you start to pick up on these energies. That almost seems like more of a sense of psychometry. If you're not necessarily going everywhere and seeing dead people, maybe you kind of trip into these little power pockets of energy. And in a sense, you're doing like a massive psychometry lesson when you're in these homes where you pick up on that energy.
Well, you know, let me tell you, you know, I don't know how to tap into all this. You know, I think I would need to talk to Brett and obviously my dear friendship to know how to do this, but things have happened to me in certain situations that, you know, aren't explainable. You know, when I've been touched by my foot in bed at 8 a.m. and nobody's there, you know. So I really believe that I'm getting, you know, interesting messages. I really don't know how to interpret what happens to me. You know, I'm a newbie.
Well, we'll try to connect you. I know a few people, Jennifer. I have connections. Let's try to power through as many of these phone calls as we can. Terrell, or is it Terrell in Miami?
It's Terrell. You got it right the second time.
Hi, Terrell. Welcome to the show. Real quick question. We're running out of time here.
All right, quick question. I've displayed some abilities that kind of manifested themselves as I've gotten older, like being able to tell people things about themselves upon just meeting them, predicting behavior, personality traits, things of that nature. And I'm basically wanting to know, am I tapping into an ability, or am I just using knowledge of or understanding of how people behave? And if it is an ability, how can I cultivate and grow that ability?
Chip, what words of wisdom do you have on that?
I think everyone is psychic, and to answer your question, Terrell, it's kind of like, psychic to me, demystifying it, is the ability or skill set to access information or energy that you can't get using your five human senses. We all can sort of have a first reaction or first impression of people, but if you're getting other information that turns out to be valid, then you're tapping into a psychic sense. How do you develop it? I'm going to give a plug to somebody that I love a lot that's in the Minneapolis-St. Paul area, and that is Echo Bodine. Go online and look under Echo Bodine, E-C-H-O-B-O-D-I-N-E. Echo has written some of the most fabulous books on psychic development that I think are among the best that you could possibly learn from.
Right, she's got...
I agree. Yeah. I started reading her right away, and she is the most generous teacher of any psychic out there that's written a book, I think.
She's got The Gift and A Still Small Voice. Those are two of her big psychic development books, so pick them up. Lazarus in Miami, welcome to the show.
Well, good evening. Thank you for having me here.
Yeah, you bet. We've got very limited time, so what's your question for him, folks?
I understand. My question is simple. I used to have The Gift. I used to be able to sense things. How do you come back from it when you lose the ability to sense energy and spirits and the paranormal? How do you come back from it? How do you fix yourself when you've lost the gift?
I love how you say that. How do you fix yourself? Great question, Lazarus. I'm going to let you listen online for the answer. Chip, how do you do that? If it's something that's faded in time, can you prop it back up? Is it just like a muscle, like you said earlier, you just got to work it again?
I think that sometimes you can get it back, and sometimes you can't. For whatever reason, maybe it's a protective element that you need to focus more on yourself than focus on anything that's outward or external. Again, I'm going to lead you to Echo Bodine. That's a question I've asked her many times. How can you get it back? She addresses those specific issues in just the two books you mentioned.
All right, let's grab, I think this is our last call for the evening, Sean in Alexandria, Virginia. Welcome to the show.
Hey, yeah, I had a quick question. My son, he's 4, and ever since he's been 2, like, my wife and I have seen ghosts, and we've been at Mount Washington Hotel and seen ghosts up there and everything. But my son, he's seen our dead niece and other things like that. How do you nurture or know how to nurture or not nurture the ability when they're that young?
Well, I'm going to chime in on this, and I'm going to do something that's totally self-serving here. I wrote a book called Growing Up Psychic, and I think that it gives great sound guidance to anyone that's helping to raise a psychic kid. And you can find that book on Amazon.com or on my website. But I think that you just let the child, don't encourage the child, support the child. Most of it is just, honestly, my dear, is just being a good, supportive, loving parent to your child, and the rest, just deal with the rest of it as it comes up.
All right. Thank you, Sean. Yeah, it is funny how many people I've witnessed at these events. You used to talk about this, and Jennifer, Brett, I'm sure you're familiar with this from having worked on sets for so many years, the stage mother for the younger people. Now it's become the psychic stage mother, Chip. I see these people show up at events, and they've got their child in tow, and it seems like the last thing the kid wants to do is deal with psychic abilities. They maybe want to go meet a TV celebrity or go have some fun, but it's their parents pushing them. Can that actually hurt them in the long run for trying to develop these abilities?
I think we can go down the line and say this. My answer is yes. Brett, you're next.
honey, you're right. Chip, that is what you did that was so amazing on the show with the children, that you didn't just basically knife the parents. You know, I think most 90% of stage parents should be in federal prison. And when the children are gifted, and here's the thing you remember, and I'd never tell this to a child, we choose our stage coaches. Anything that happens to us is bound to make us stronger and all that. But if you're a parent of a sensitive child, well, that's redundant. All children are sensitive. Job is to, you know, to do that job and protect and nurture. And if you're a parent looking for a paycheck from a kid, and there's no advice you'd hear. You know, we're already on the road. But, Chip, I used your book, The Growing Up Psychic. I just pretended I was a little kid taking your advice, by the way.
Right.
Jennifer, let me ask, too, because we got a minute left with you. I know you do work with teens, you were saying. Is there sites, anything people can go see if they want to make donations or help out?
Well, I work for a nonprofit called TLC, Tilly's Life Center. Some of you may know Tilly's, the clothing store. That is my boss. She and myself and my program director, and a couple other teachers, we wrote the program, and we work with kids that, high risk, kids that don't have parents home helping them make good decisions, and their family life may be a little altered, and we give them self-confidence and to trust in themselves, and it's a really beautiful program. So yes, TLC, Tilly's Life Center, everyone.
Well, bless you for doing that work, Jennifer. Thank you for calling in and being a part of the show with us this evening. Chip Coffey, again, thank you always, buddy. We'll see you at the Equinox Fair in Mankato, Minnesota this weekend. For more information, go check out chipcoffee.com. chipcoffee.com. And don't forget, go check out Blog Talk Fluid for one of Jennifer's shows. And what's the feast one? I want to make sure they get the name right.
Oh, yes. Feast on This.
Feast on
All
This.
All of you foodies, go to it.
All right. Fantastic. For Tim Dennis and Dave Schrader, with special thanks to Jennifer Runyon-Corman, Chip Coffey, and Brett Butler for joining us this evening on the show. We'll be back with you tomorrow night.
Well, there you go. That's your psychic roundtable. We called it Second Sight, and it's your Throwback Thursday episode of Beyond the Darkness. Tomorrow, brand new episode as Dave returns, and we'll also have a brand new Theater of the Mind for you as well. That's coming up tomorrow on the best in paranormal talk radio. This is Beyond the Darkness.